Diane Karas-Chokas and Megan Hakowitz are crouched over a dozen grainy ultrasound pictures at the obstetrician.
I'm not sure. I think this is his face.
Yes, that is his face looking at us. That is the spine along the top.
Diane wipes the ultrasound gel from her belly, where Megan's baby boy is growing. That's right, it's Diane's belly, but Megan's baby.
His little face, and wow, his face is so well developed.
Diane and Megan are best friends. Diane already has two children with her husband, Dave. This will be the first baby for Megan and her husband, Frank. If you're confused, you're not alone.
Now I'm visibly pregnant, and people will say, oh, I didn't know you were pregnant. Congratulations. And I'll say, thank you, but it's not my husband's. And then I wait a little while, and I see their reaction. And then I go, well, it's not mine either.
And I, you know, I mean, it's not the most comfortable thing to tell someone you don't know, well, yes, I'm having a child, but I'm not carrying it. You know, my friend's carrying it for us. So some people look at me like I have five heads and they just don't get it.
But to Diane, a gregarious 40-year-old with long brown hair, and Megan, 35, blonde and petite, it makes complete sense. It all started 30 years ago when Megan and her parents moved two doors down from Diane's family in Hadley, Massachusetts.
She was this playful little girl that came over that my sisters and I decided we accepted into our little clan, and we call her sister by heart, but not by blood.
They were both raised Catholic and loved to climb trees, build forts, and perform skits together. But Megan was not a healthy child. She was born with cystic fibrosis, a pulmonary disease that causes chronic mucus buildup in the lungs. It can lead to serious respiratory infections and digestive and reproductive problems. Megan adjusted her expectations for the future accordingly.
Well, I just thought that I couldn't have children. I never thought I would even get married, so.
When Diane and Megan were teenagers, Megan's aunt, who also had cystic fibrosis, died a year after bearing a son. As Diane recalls, she never recovered from the pregnancy.
I didn't want the same thing to happen with Megan and her potential children.
For years, Diane made casual offers to carry Megan's future baby, and Megan nervously laughed them off until she met and married Frank. The couple confirmed that pregnancy would threaten Megan's health and that the medication she takes to manage her disease could harm a fetus. They decided adoption was too expensive, so they reconsidered Diane's offer with some trepidation.
She's very important to me, so my first concern is her and like her health and how it affects her family.
And we talked about it again. Then I think it really sunk in. And she knows my values, and I know hers, and there has not been one thing at all that we have disagreed with throughout this whole process.
Okay, ready? Okay.
And there have been plenty of high-stakes moments.
Any cramping, contractions,
no.
Braxton Hicks, nothing?
No.
At her 28-week checkup, Diane lies on a metal exam table with Megan at her side. The doctor asks if they've come up with a name.
We're looking at what, Brady Christopher?
For sure or not?
That's the only name my husband and I can agree on right now. So.
And are they going to circumcise?
Said, what are we doing in the hospital after Brady's born?
Oh, we haven't talked about it.
I told you to talk about that.
Few topics are taboo between these women, but any surrogate relationship is fraught with unknowns. Experts in surrogacy say the situation can get even more complicated when the two parties are friends. So Megan and Frank hired a lawyer to draw up a contract between the couples, and they were all required to go through a battery of psychological tests before a fertility clinic would take them on as clients.
We went over everything, like all the what-ifs.
Starting with how each of them felt about the grueling process of getting pregnant. After Megan and Frank used in vitro fertilization to create an embryo, Diane needed months of daily hormone shots into her stomach and back.
My husband, after 10 weeks of daily intramuscular needles, did say if we had to go through it again, my mother would have to come over and do it.
That's one of the reasons that was my hesitation initially, is because I didn't want to cause her any pain or any discomfort or anything.
The pregnancy did take on the first try, setting off the next round of what-ifs.
What if something happens during the pregnancy or during the delivery, you know, something fatal, and whose life would be chosen? It's always been that Megan and Frank said, you have a family, you have an established family, it's your life first, which is a very hard thing to even fathom and talk about, but everything needs to be talked about.
And if the fetus had a serious defect, Megan says they're both against abortion.
But, I mean, if we would have to really address it. I mean, if something very severe was going on, but I mean, it was one of those situations that you really, can't talk about until it comes up.
The psychologists also wanted to know whether Diane would have any trouble relinquishing parental rights. Diane assured them she would not.
This is an oven that is culminating a beautiful baby for them. That's the way I look at it. And we are so close that I know that we'll still have a very close relationship with the baby. And my children are, you know, very excited to have him over for sleepovers and play dates and all that fun stuff and teach him bad habits, I guess.
Although some gestational carriers earn $50,000 or more for bearing a child, Diane didn't want any money. Megan and Frank are paying all the expenses, about $30,000 worth of medical co-pays, legal fees, even maternity clothes and prenatal vitamins. But what psychologists say may be most at stake is the friendship. Will Megan feel overly indebted to Diane? After all, how do you thank a friend who's given you a child?
She's going to give me a trip to the Caribbean and liposuction. No, we're in this together, and we're just looking for the optimum result of a healthy baby and years of memories together. So that's what I gain out of this.
I mean, I'm certainly grateful and I'll always be grateful, but the fact that she has a good attitude about it and she's like, let's get rolling, let's do this, it just feels right.
Back in the exam room, the doctor puts the heart monitor on Diane's stomach. The beat is strong.
All right, looks perfect. Anything else?
I can't think of anything else. Can you?
Baby Brady is due in July. Since Megan's husband is not a carrier for cystic fibrosis, the doctor says the baby won't have the disease. But Megan's own health is still a concern. With a newborn in the house, she knows it won't be easy to keep eating well, exercising, and getting rest, all critical to managing cystic fibrosis. Luckily, her best friend Diane has promised to babysit often. For WFCR and WNNZ, I'm Karen Brown.